All right, last weekend, we kickstarted this series talking about the family and home field advantage. Doesn't necessarily matter what type of family structure you have. That sermon was aiming right for the heart of your home. If you didn't get a chance to connect with that, this weekend we're going to do that again. But I am going to zoom in and speak to the single people of our church. But married people, you're not off the hook, because almost all of these points relate to where you are right now. I've entitled this Singularity, and to set this up, I want to be as clear as I possibly can without yelling. But if you're a single person and you decided that New Life Church is your church, I just want to let you know you are welcome here. You're not a second-class citizen here. You can have confidence when you walk into this place, and we welcome you here in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's give a hand for the single people. The reason why I say that is sometimes when someone's single, especially if they're single again, they don't necessarily have the confidence to walk into a church sometimes. And so I've entitled this Singularity because I remember when I was trying to figure out who I was going to marry and going through all of that. There was this lady that I met one time who was really pretty. She loved God. I thought, man, I might want to get to know this girl more. And so I was speaking to her, but there was one major hitch. She owned a cat. I mean, no, that's a deal breaker right there. And but I said, well, the cat will die someday. And but what I didn't know is that I cranked up my Maxima, and I heard skip-a-pa-pa-pa, and I popped the hood, and what I didn't know is that the cat was there. And man, I don't like cats, but I wouldn't kill a cat, not deliberately. This one was certainly by accident. And I looked into the fan of the vehicle, and her cat was mangled in the fan. And I felt so bad about it, but I wasn't sure if it was her cat, and I needed to know for sure, and so I didn't know what to do, and here's my big mistake. I wrapped it in a towel, and I brought it over to her house, and I knocked on the door, and I said, hey, is this your cat? And she went demonic on me, and she freaked, and I can imagine being hurting, but man, I've only seen Michelle that way one time. And it was when she was delivering Hunter without an epidural. Have you ever seen the movie The Exorcist? And I saw it too. And but here's the deal. Marrying the right person, if you're going to get married someday, being single, being married, it doesn't matter. We need Jesus to help us. But when people get married, have you ever been to a wedding before and you weren't sure if they were going to even make it a month? Like you kept the receipt on the gift kind of a deal. And what you must know is there are 100 million single adults right now in America, more than in any other time. It's 50% of all adults now. Even in the workplace, 42% of the people who work right now are single people. They're hardworking people. They have a price to pay every day just like everyone else. 75 to 80% of them, though, will get married someday. And so I've aimed this sermon sort of at that angle, like if it happens. But 50% of them are not married right now, so that's a big jump. So a lot of people are living in that world. You might be single for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons why some people are single, if you're taking notes, write this down. It's intentional singleness. To escalate that thought as big as I can, you may even have the gift of singleness. So it's not just single because of a situation. You're single because God wants you to be, and you feel called to it. This is not my idea. This is Paul. Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, I wish everyone could get alone without marrying just as I do. Now, this is similar to what he said about praying in the Spirit. He said, I wish everyone could pray in the Spirit like I do. Now he's saying it about being single. I wish everybody could get alone without marrying just as I do. But we are not all the same. God gives some the gift of marriage, and to others he gives the gift of singleness. A gift of singleness. So I don't know if you have that gift, but these are people who are here right now, And they're not checking out every potential mate. They're not looking around. Some of you, you do not have that gift. You know everybody in the room right now who you would like to talk to. So how do you know if you have the gift of singleness? I couldn't think of an easier way to define it than this. You can go the rest of your life without having sex, and it will not frustrate you. It's a gift from heaven. It's not how you keep score. Singleness by situation, or singleness because of intentionality. Number two, situational singleness. This means it's related to circumstance. Maybe you didn't choose it. Maybe it just hasn't worked out yet. Maybe you're single by math because you're young and you haven't had enough time yet. Maybe you've never found that right person. Maybe you've never found anybody worth marrying, and only the Lord knows how true that can be. Maybe you've been asked, but it wasn't by the right person. Maybe you've been divorced. That is certainly situational. Maybe you're widowed, and that's a painful way to be single unless you killed them, and then it feels really good. Okay, and then preferential singleness. Probably shouldn't have said that. Preferential singleness. This reminds me of a joke. Can I just say it real quick? Boudreaux, he loves his wife, Marie. And he said, "Hey, Marie, you know I love you. I was just thinking, if I die, you're going to marry somebody else?" She said, "Oh, Boudreaux, I don't want to talk about that. I don't think about that." He said, "Come on, tell me. I need to know. Will you marry somebody else?" She goes, "Well, I'll be lonely maybe, so I might, Boudreaux." He goes, "I can't believe that." He said, "You going to let him live in this house? You going to let him live in this house?" She goes, "Boudreaux, I don't really want to talk about that." He said, "I need to know. You going to let him live up in this house?" She said, "Well, yeah, I mean, he's got to live somewhere." He goes, "I can't believe. You going to let him drive my car? You going to let him drive my car? If he don't have a car, Boudreaux, I don't really want to think about this. If he don't have a car, I might let him drive your car. Boudreaux, you won't be here." He goes, "I can't believe it. Are you going to let him use my golf clubs?" She said, "Oh, no, he's left-handed." Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay. That wasn't in my notes. I promise you that. Preferential singleness. These are people who could be married, but they decided not to be married, and it's... It might be based on a conviction, but let me be clear as I can. You can get married for the right reason, but you can get married for the wrong reason. It's like that with singleness. You can be single for the right reason, but you can be single for the wrong reason. Now let me go through some of those. Maybe it's because you're a control freak and you just can't build inside of you to serve someone else. Maybe it's because you're a tightwad with your money. Might be the fear of failure. Like, as a married person, I'm going to fail. And so that fear is never a good reason. Another fear is the fear of talking to someone else. I remember, some of you might recall the story, a few years ago I was mad at all the single people in our church because they could be in love with God, but they wouldn't even talk. Like, the guys wouldn't even go and talk to a girl. So I just challenged them all. Come on. Talk to one another. Why are you so afraid? And one guy from Arkansas, Deep Woods, Arkansas, came over to me. I mean, he spoke banjo. I'm not kidding. I'm like, "Hey, now, now, hey, now, now, how, now." He's such a cool guy, though. He loves God, and he's cool. "Hey, now. I got this girl I really want to talk to, but I don't really know what to say to her. And what do you think?" And I just made up something. I said, "We have scones in the foyer. Ask her if she wants a scone." Now, that's a good idea. So he walked away. I was just kidding. But he came back. "Man, that really worked. We ate scones." And he went up to her. She talked banjo too. He said, "I went up to her. Hey, you want scones?" She goes, "Yeah, I like scones." So every week, before church, they would have a scone before church and after church. They gained relationship, they gained weight. But a few years ago, they got married in Jesus' name. How you like that? I told him, I said, "You got to call the first kid either Rick or Scone. I'll take either one, either way." Here's another one, not wanting to be responsible. That wouldn't be the right reason. Like you're 35 years old and still live with mom. Having sex without commitment. That certainly wouldn't be a good reason. So I've noticed some things as a pastor about single life. And just want to go through a few of them. And then I'm going to zoom in and talk to the ladies on how to find the right man. And then I'm going to talk to the men about the same thing on how to find the right woman. Number one, being single is a great time to enjoy. And new lifers, I just want to challenge you. Don't be sensitive about being single. Don't be so touchy about it. You have Jesus with you. Life doesn't start when you get married. It starts when you give your heart to Christ. I was speaking on this one time and telling the whole congregation about single life, and a group came up to me like they had conspired and came up to me and they said, "We don't like it when you call us single. We want to be called unmarried." And I said, "Well, that's the same thing." "No, yeah, but we don't really want that term. We like unmarried. Don't call us single." I said, "Well, single is math. It just means one. We could call you unmarried, but you're single." And so I wasn't helping the cause much. And then finally I realized, man, what's going on is I'm tapping into like a vibe that swarms around godly people who are single. And so I want to ask you, married or single, to settle. Just settle in who you are with God. This is what Paul was saying. Paul, to the people, and he wrote the book of Philippians. It was the people of Philippi. And you got to understand this. Before he wrote this, he was in prison. Or while he was writing this, he was in prison. And Paul, he went through so much. This brother almost drowned, shipwrecked twice. One time on open sea, bobbing around for a few days in the open sea, finally saw some land, got to the land, was freezing cold, built a fire somehow, and a snake came out and bit him. This brother had some bad days. But he said, while he's in prison, he's writing the people of Philippi saying this, "I have learned to be content." Everybody say learned. That means he didn't know it before, and then somehow he learned it. Contentment is learned behavior. If you're not settled in where you are in God, without contentment, you're going to make horrible decisions. But he said, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it means to have plenty. I've learned," there it is again. In other words, I didn't know it before, but then I learned it. I learned the secret of being content. The secret. This word is also used in the Old Testament when it describes the secret place of the Most High. Let me make that clear, that you're not going to really understand the intimate side of God, like the powerful relationship, like how much He loves you, until you learn it directly. Like it's a secret place. It's hard to explain. It's the secret of being content. It's hard to understand it, but once you get it, it's such a place of security. Being content in any and every situation. He's just building this case. People, and I love the people who are around me. But for years, their kindness sounds a little bit like they're stretching me at times. And I just want to let you know, if you're not content, then even the words that people say to you, just trying to have common conversation with you, will make you feel insecure. When I was single, people say, "BZ, when are you going to date somebody?" Then when I date somebody, I started dating Michelle. "When are you going to marry her?" So then I said, "Well, I don't know." Then I got engaged. "When's the wedding?" So then we had a wedding. "When are you going to have kids?" So then we had a kid. "When are you going to have another kid?" So we had another kid. "When are you going to have another kid?" So we had another kid. "When are you going to have another kid?" So we had another kid. "When are you going to have another kid?" So we ain't having any more kids. So then my kids got older. "When are you going to have a grandkid?" So we had a grandkid. "Now, when are you going to have another grandkid?" I'm great and proud to report that Hunter and Katie are now pregnant for our second grandchild. But soon people are going to come up to me, "When are you going to die? When are you going to die? When are you going to die?" Point in case. Be content in Christ. You won't get it any other way. You can't get it any other way. If you're always looking down the road, like, I'm going to be happy at some point down the road, you're going to miss what the Holy Spirit is doing right in front of you. Please enjoy the moments God gives you. Be present. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, stay in step with the Spirit, like coordinated with Him. Don't get ahead of Him. The best place to be is with Him. If you want to know where to go to be content, that's it. Number two, I've noticed this. Being single is a great time to prepare. To prepare your relationship with Christ, it's a great time to grow. It's hard to voluntarily mature in marriage because most of your maturity in marriage comes from involuntary life. Like you didn't even try to stir that up. It's just there. But when you're single, you can get along with God. Most of the maturity that you get when you're single, it just comes straight from your time with God instead of hurting your mate or making mistakes. The scripture goes so far as to say, when you're single, you can think more about God because you don't have your thoughts on the world as much. But when you're married, you got to think about that spouse, and it consumes a lot of your time. Paul said it this way, I'll just read it. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs and how to please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. By the way, a divided heart can never give undivided attention to God. Likewise, an unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. When you're single, you can kill it for Christ. But there's a misconception, though, that a lot of people have about single people. And that is, a lot of times you go, well, they're single, they have plenty of time. No, single people are busy. They get up, they work hard, they're busy. They're very good at what they do. They achieve a lot. But the truth is also, you do have freedom and schedule that a married person doesn't have. Not more free time, but different free time. Like when I was single, I remember there were times where I would just get in my car and go drive around. And I was thinking about it this week. When is the last time I just drove around? Like, hey, I'm going to just go drive around. Michelle, I'm just going to go drive around. Michelle, I hadn't done that for a long 30 years. I haven't just drove. I'm just going to go drive around. No, you ain't. You don't have the spontaneous moments like that. Random road trips. You can still be spontaneous, but it's harder. When you're single, you can stay up later. You can pull pranks without an eternal consequence. You can go on mission trip. You can do more bucket list stuff. Guys, life is cheaper when you're single. Spend your money now because you're going to lose it all when you get married. Girls, watch all the chick flicks you want. Because guys, we think there's two kinds of movies, chick flicks and good movies. That's it. There's no other option. Girls can get in the car and sing loud. Taylor Swift. You can sing all this stuff that's out there right now. What's that movie that everybody's watching? Greatest Showman? Sing it, girls. But Taylor Swift, I was thinking, when Taylor Swift gets married, what's she going to write about? She's going to go broke, man. Listen, fall in love with God before you fall in love with someone else. When you're single, that's what you can work on. When I was single, a pastor friend of mine, Mark Harrell, he came to me and he said, Rick, the way you find a spouse is you just run for the Lord as fast as you can. Just go for God, man. Be faithful to church. Be faithful with your heart, your time, your resources. Just run for Jesus. And every now and then, look to your left and right. And anyone who's keeping up with you, give it a shot. It's a season where you can grow. But let's get real. Being married will not solve all the problems. Because a lot of people, they're just miserable. married or unmarried. And a lot of, so if you're miserable and unmarried, you think, if I get married, then I'm going to be happy. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a lot of joy in marriage. Michelle and I have been happily married for 30 years. We have a lot of laughter. We dream together. We do ministry together. But I'm going to be honest with you. It takes work. It takes work to get married, to be married. It takes work to settle in to your walk with God. Marriage works on holiness more than happiness. But so does single life. And Jesus wants us to love him before we love someone else. And he's going to make us a servant before he gives you a spouse. He wants us to be confident before he gives us a confidant. Are y'all out there? He wants us to feel loved by him before we have a lover. Hello. Number three, being single is the best time to be confident and patient. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. I just met with someone right before church, and they were praying with Michelle and I about church, and this lady was talking about patience and just waiting and how difficult that is. I hear myself praying that sometimes. Lord, give me patience. Give it to me now. Now, God. Give me some patience now, God. And you just can't get it that way. But let me just tell you, ladies, I'm going to talk to you for a second. I know some of you want to find that godly man. And every now and then you'll meet one. It's like, whoa, this could be it. He asks for your number. It's like, yeah, this is working. Then he texts you and you text back. And then he stops. He's ghosting. There's nothing. And then you want to contact him. So then you're trying to figure out, what should I say? Maybe I could just say, just check on. Listen, if he's not texting you, he doesn't want you. He's not calling you, he doesn't want you. I don't know of a dad anywhere that is praying for his kids to have a spouse that doesn't want them. One of the things you pray for is that they will want, that they love God and they will love your kid. What about your Father in heaven? Do you think he's good enough to give you someone who wants you? Always be confident in who you are with God. Someone is praying to find you right now. Don't mess it up with aggression. Stay with the Lord. Trust in him. Act like you're taken. Be confident. Don't be insecure. Don't have open wounds, broken and shattered. Trust your God. So, ideas for the ladies to find the right man. Brothers, I'm getting ready to mess up your game. Number one. Does he love Christ more than he loves himself? Does it grieve his heart to grieve the Spirit of God is what I'm saying. Don't marry, girls, look at me. Don't marry a dude based on the accessories. Well, you don't understand. He's got good abs. Real good abs. And good hair. Good hair. If he doesn't love God, you're going to pull out all his hair anyway. Check his routine. Does he love God? Is he in the Word? Does he what does he read? Does he have influence around the things of God? What is he praying about? Does he pray with you? Does he care about the hurting world? Well, all I know is he has a good heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above everything else. So you don't have to go by the heart. You can zoom in and see the actions. Don't go by his words, go by what he does. How faithful is he to his church? If it's not New Life Church, that doesn't matter. But to his church, to the Word, praying with people. What makes him laugh? What is his private life like? What is his reputation? Is God number one in his life? Paul said this way in 2 Corinthians, said, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. This is basically not talking about somebody who doesn't know the Lord. It's somebody who's not as strong as your aim. Can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything in common with darkness? Can a believer share life with an unbeliever? We have people that can testify in this room that this is important to talk about. So here's a question. How can you give your life to someone who rejects the most important thing in your life, Jesus? What can be worse than being single if you hate being single? Wishing you were single, that's worse. Because in marriage, you're going to need Jesus in it. Can everybody say amen? Because one day he's going to be sitting on the pot while you brush your teeth, and you're going to need Jesus up in there. Just being real with you. One day it's going to happen. You go, he said it would happen. Sure wish he loved Jesus. Number two, does he honor God with his money? And this is a lot of ways to do it. The one I'm thinking of is, does he work hard? Does he pay his bills? Does he have integrity with his money? Before Adam got Eve, that brother had a job and he worked hard. Check it out. Also, you don't have to wonder if he loves God. The scripture says in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Find out what he does with his money. Is he faithful in giving to the Lord? Most of the time, a selfish and materialistic man doesn't make the greatest husband. Number three, does he have bursts of anger? And I'm just trying to get as punchy as I possibly can, but I'm pastoring. If he's punching the steering wheel today, it could be your face tomorrow. Watch him lose at something. Can he handle defeat? If he applies for a job and doesn't get it, what's he like then? If someone rejects him, when he loses, is he teachable? You can divide every brother up and every girl into two categories, humility and pride. A humble person just notices needs. A prideful person has a need to be noticed. When he blows it, does he make phone calls to get it better next time? Or does he just blame everybody else? Can he laugh at himself? One time I was playing racquetball with a pastor. And he hit this shot and he hit the wall and hit him in the head. And I just fell down laughing so hard. That brother was not laughing. He took his racket and he broke it like right by my head. Threw it on the ground and walked out of the court. It's like, what? He left the health club. And I just remember thinking, I'm glad I'm not married to somebody like that. And I couldn't believe it. The next time I saw Chris, I said, you shouldn't lose your temper like that. I'm just kidding. That brother don't play racquetball. Number four, do your friends and family have a peace about him? I'm going to say that one again. Do your friends and family have a peace about him? Now listen, I know the makeup of family can be a lot of different ways. So I'm not trying to speak. I could never speak to every type family. And some of your family, they don't serve a Lord, or maybe it's really dark over in that zone of your life. But I will say, give honor to your parents. There are times where you don't have to honor your parents if they ask you to do something unscriptural, illegal, or immoral. But other than that, I think family is huge to help you in this season of being single. Or are your friends? Like, I don't know what it is, but all the sweet girls, for some reason, the sweet girls like the bad boys. And I just want to tell you, if 9 of your friends are saying, run! Run! It's just really important. Like, even going to get married. I just want to tell everybody here, find someone you honor, like your family, your parents. If that's broken in your life, try to restore it. If you can't, someone that loves you, that tells you the truth. But when you go to ask them if you should marry this person, look for more. Here's the tip right here. Look for more than the blessing. Because I've seen a lot of parents endorse the marriage, but they still didn't like it. Because when you give the blessing, you don't want to hurt your kids. So you'll say, yeah, I'll bless it. You can get married. But then they're thinking, oh, man. So what can you look for then if they're not going to tell you the truth? Look for equal enthusiasm. Are they celebrating the idea as much as you? Why is this important? Because a lot of times girls go, I can change them. I know I can change them. We got people that can testify that's not going to be the case. Because only Jesus can change the character of a person. And you don't want to fix her upper. Amen? Okay, brothers, I'm done. Now I get to talk about the ladies. Things about women for you brothers. Number one, watch how she gets along with her family and other past roommates. Now I'm gonna give her some space. I'm gonna give her some grace. Let me put in one disclaimer. If she didn't know the Lord a few years ago, it probably didn't go well with her roommates. So that's not the best data to use, okay? But after someone gives their heart to the Lord, you don't have to wonder what the future is going to be like. If you can study the data of the past. Proverbs 31:31 says, give her the reward she has earned over time, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. In the early church, you could tell they had favor with God because they had it with God and man. So what is her favor like? Does she have real friends who love her? Check that pathway backwards. You can find her future if you study it backwards. Number two, does she like to draw attention to her body? 1 Peter 3:3, these are not my ideas. I got all this from Scripture. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition, which means in the Greek, holy beauty. The unfading beauty of a holy beauty. This is what God is trying to create inside of her. So fashion is cool. Nothing wrong with looking right. But is it provocative? And some people will spend more time getting their face ready than their soul ready. And Proverbs 31:25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Watch what she posts on Instagram. Does she like to draw attention to her body or to her Lord? 1 Timothy 2:9, a woman should dress modestly. Number three, it's getting quiet in here. Number three, watch her words and her countenance. Like when she's under stress. Does she freak out, yell, cry all the time? Tears are not bad, but all the time? You ever seen a kid throw a fit in Walmart? Just go crazy. Sometimes those kids never grow up. And I think that's worth looking at. Recently, I was at a restaurant, and a kid started throwing a fit, and the dad had to drag out this kid. This kid was yelling out, help, the whole way. It was like everybody in the restaurant saw it. It was like we all became cousins because we saw the same thing. Like we're waving each other. I saw it. You see it? Yeah, I saw it. When I got up to leave, bye, see y'all. Everybody waved. Funny at the restaurant. Not funny in marriage. I think it's very important that you understand this. So I'm going to close this out. You just think it's quiet in here now. I'm going to close it out. I'm going to bump this up. Because when I made this list, I only mentioned a few. Seven total. But I was thinking about 20 or 30. And then I found this verse, and I'm just going to just say it as clear as I possibly can. Guys, if you're single, I don't know how you do it right now. It would be so hard for me. If Michelle leaves me, I'm going with her. I just can't imagine being single, the pressure and trying to do it right. The world is getting so dark. I just want to challenge you. Hold on to the word. Don't water it down. Come on. It's going to knock you off balance. So what's the world like right now? Well, I was thinking about Scripture and how we live in it seems like the end times to me. When I read through Scripture, almost everything has happened now. The Lord may tarry another 50 years. It just seems to me that it could be sooner than that. In the next year, this month, next 5 years, next 10 years. Who knows? The Bible says no one knows. But I want to show you why it's so difficult in your world. I'm going to read two verses to you, two portions of Scripture to you, and then I'm out. Let's look at these. Paul, who was in prison a few times, writing to the people of Philippi. Now this is a completely different timeline in his life, but he's writing Timothy. But he does start out by saying, that there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, when this brother says, and the Greek word here is perilous times, like worse than he had ever seen. And what this brother went through. And so then he gives like design to every type of person that's going to be around during these days. There's going to be terrible times in the last days. Why? Because people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful and unholy and without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, entertainment, rather than lovers of God. These are measurable ingredients. They'll have a form of godliness, but denying its power. Single people have nothing to do with such people. Then in 1 Timothy 4, the Spirit clearly says in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You can turn those verses off. Listen, we all need the Spirit of God to guide us right now. And staying tight with the Lord. Some of you are trying to serve God today like you did 10 years ago. And I say, He's yelling with His love. Give me more. I've got you. I'll take care of you. Get in closer. Stop the patterns. Please. I'll take care of you, but stop the pattern of the world. Come on over. And when you make a mistake, I'll forgive you. But give me more to work with. He's telling that to single people and married people. Thus saith the Lord. Let's bow our heads.